Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I am thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
It's been said, if you have a little God, then you have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you have little problems. Friend, I don't know what problems you have today, but I know if you belong to God, He's a very big God. Today we're going to understand more about Him on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Perhaps you come to today's program with problems you cannot solve. What circumstances and questions are beyond your control in your life right now? Well, friend, we hope today that a fresh glimpse of God, the nature, the power, the greatness, the goodness of God, will help you see your problems and life's challenges in light of His nature. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host. And this program comes to you with Dr. Paul Chappell, the teacher, preacher, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. It's a joy every Monday through Friday to meet with you through this program. And today we're studying and understanding God, a great series of messages that really inspects from God's Word what He says about Himself. And it's our prayer that as you look at the fresh glimpse of Scripture and what God says about Himself, your problems will become smaller in light of His goodness, His power, and His greatness. Today, we turn to Psalm 2 and we study the sovereignty of God. Something that may seem out of control in your life, you can be guaranteed is in His. Psalm chapter 2, the sovereignty of God. Here's Paul Chappell.
We see in the Word of God that God, when He determined, caused the sea to part. God, when He determined, caused the sun to stand still. And then we see His sovereignty in sending food to Elijah. I suppose every pastor, every quote-unquote man of God enjoys the story of 1 Kings 17. We see in 1 Kings 17 that this man by the name of Elijah, a prophet of God, is now being told by God to go to a place called the Brook Cherith. And God says, Elijah, I want you to go there. I'm going to sustain you there. I'll provide the water that you need. I'll provide the meat that you need. And in fact, God provided it via air mail. Think of His sovereignty in this case. I mean, it's one thing to think about the waters being parted. It's another thing to think about the sun stopping. But think about birds delivering food to the prophet of God. In His sovereign plan, He delivered via air mail the food needed for His man each and every day. And by the way, if He could do that for Elijah, He will take care of you and of me. We see His sovereignty in closing the lions' mouths in Daniel 6 and verse 22. When God said to those lions, I don't want you to eat this one, they didn't even take a bite. They may have licked their chops, but they didn't take a bite. Because God has power over His creation. We see His sovereign power in parting the sea and stopping the sun in the middle of the day and causing the ravens to feed Elijah and in causing the lions to keep their mouths closed. And by the way, we see His sovereign will and power in the various catastrophic events that are happening all around us today. I love the verse in Nahum 1 in verse 3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not acquit all the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of His feet." The Bible says the Lord is having His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Now don't raise your hands this morning, but I would be surprised if there weren't many people here today in the middle of a whirlwind right now. Some who have loved ones in hospital beds, and some who have problems with family members, and some who are having trials in different ways, the whirlwinds and the storms. But God, because He is God, has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And one of the wisest prayers we can pray in the times of the storm is, "God, have Your will in Your way. Be glorified as God in this time." You say, well, what about the tornadoes in Oklahoma? And what about the terrible tragedy in Florida as a result of a hurricane and earthquakes in California? God says that even in the midst of the whirlwinds and the storms, He's performing His work. He is getting the attention of His creation. He is doing His will even in those times. And so we claim Romans 8:28, and we know. How can we know? Because we understand that God is sovereign, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. We know that God, in His mercy and in His love, has a sovereign plan for His people. His will is sovereign. His works are sovereign. And I want you to notice with me thirdly this morning, His way of salvation is sovereign. His way of salvation is sovereign. Now, sometimes people say, well, it seems to me that just any way ought to be a good enough way. And why do we have to be so narrow about the way of salvation? Friend, it is not this church. It is not Baptist people particularly. It is not some theologian trying to be narrow about the way of salvation. It is God's will and way that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. The way of salvation is sovereign. His way is sovereign. God has established a way whereby all men, all women, all boys and girls coming to an age of accountability can have their sins forgiven and can have a home in heaven, regardless of what their upbringing may have been, with a church, without a church, Baptist, Catholic, something in between, Buddhist, Hindu. God says, I have a sovereign plan for all people whereby they might be saved. I have an unchanging plan whereby they might be saved. Now, God's way of salvation is, first of all, through Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ. We see again in Psalm 2 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. This coming King, this resurrected King, the Lord Jesus, the one whom the Bible tells us was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who lived a perfectly sinless life, and who died upon the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for our sin. The Bible says, blessed are they that put their trust in Him. If you want joy, real joy, then put your trust in Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, "I am the way," Jesus said, "the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." Now, many people today would say, I believe in Christ. I trust in Christ. But they would also say, now, of course, I have to get baptized. And, of course, I need to keep certain other commandments or sacraments. And so the question comes, do we totally trust in Christ for salvation? Because, my friend, Jesus is the way, not Jesus plus the baptism waters, not Jesus plus the Baptist church. But it is Jesus Christ alone in whom we must trust. It is His work of Calvary alone that covers our sin. There is a rock star who's beginning to fade from the scene, I suppose, somewhat. Her name is Madonna. Madonna, on a 60 Minutes 2 interview recently, was talking about the fact that she had her daughter, Lola, baptized in the Catholic Church. And the interviewer asked a fair question. I mean, he said basically, how can you, with your lifestyle and the way you've lived, get your child baptized in a Catholic church? And I don't mean to be critical about it, but there are millions and millions of people who think that if you get baptized in some church, you can go on living for the devil the rest of your life. And I suppose the interviewer was right to ask the question. He sensed a contradiction here. He supposed, as many unsaved do, that if you're going to go get baptized, then that means there's some kind of a change in your life. There's some kind of something going on, a new direction. And he sensed that there was no real new direction, just this baptism. Madonna said, and I quote, "I can disagree with doctrines and still celebrate them. I go to the synagogue. I study Hinduism. In the end, all paths lead to God." Now, that's the spirit of 1999. That's the spirit of the World Council of Churches. That's the spirit of the media that tunes most of us in if we're not careful. That's the spirit of the United Nations, perhaps. All roads lead to the same path. That's the spirit of Madonna. That's the spirit of Satan. You see, Jesus said on one occasion, "Broad is the road of destruction, narrow is the road to life." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And someone says, "Why is that? How can that be?" Because God is God. God is sovereign. It is not up to me to change or to write the scriptures in a different way. It is up to me to find God's way and to get in the middle of it and to follow Him according to His word. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." When Jesus died upon that cross, that one offering brings forgiveness to all of those who are trusting in Him. We can have perfection or spiritual forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We are free from the penalty of sin. And we must recognize that this idea that whatever religion, however you want to believe, it's all going to wash out in the end, is the biggest lie the devil ever sold to planet Earth. And we must come to the reality and the realization that Jesus Christ is still the way. I heard of a 12-year-old boy some time ago that was playing out in the yard on the farm, and he accidentally killed one of his family's geese by throwing a stone at the goose. And when I read that story, I wondered to myself, I wonder if he really accidentally... I mean, how many boys accidentally kill something by throwing a stone at them? Now, maybe to give them benefit of the doubt, he was not intending to kill the goose. But this 12-year-old boy, he killed one of the family pets. And he figured since the family owned 24 of them, if he would bury this one, that mom and dad certainly would never notice that it was gone. And so that's exactly what he did. Only one problem. The boy had a sister. How many of you boys have sisters? Then you understand the problem. His sister came and said, "I saw what you did. And if you don't take my turn at washing dishes, I'm telling mom what you did." And that poor fella washed dishes for weeks. He washed and washed, and one day the little fella went up to his sister and said, "You wash the dishes." She said, "I'm going to tell mom what you did. I'm going to tell on you." To which the little boy replied, "I already told her. She forgave me, and I'm free again." And sometimes the devil tries to condemn you. But thank God, if you've already told Him, you're free again. Thank God that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are free indeed through Jesus Christ. That's God's sovereign plan. Now, I mean to say this morning, there are billions of people who are religious, but they're not free. They're still stuck on their lifestyle. They're still stuck in their pagan way of worship and religion. But thank God, when someone trusts Christ, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Thank God, through His sovereign plan, we know that salvation is available through Christ. But I must say, finally, that it is a free choice we must make. It is by a free choice that we make. God has a sovereign plan, but what is the use of that plan if you and I do not choose to follow His plan? Now, this is the realm of theology that maybe some of us can't quite get together, and yet we trust by faith. And here it is, that God, who is sovereign, God who sees the beginning from the end, allowed in His sovereign plan me, and He allowed you to have a free choice. He says, now here's my way of salvation, but you must choose that way. I am not going to force you to be my child. It is going to be your choice to be my child. Trusting God is a choice that we must make. It is a choice that God desires all to make. He knows beforehand who will make that choice, but He does not make the choice for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Watch this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 12:46, whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Thank God, friends, that anyone can put their faith in Jesus Christ. This is a whosoever thing. And God in His sovereignty says, here's my plan of salvation. His name is Jesus, but you must make the choice. My friend, have you chosen Jesus Christ? Do you know that if you were to die today, that you would be with Him in heaven for all of eternity? This past week, I caught a glimpse of the news and was watching Dan Rather. And I'd really rather not. You know what I mean? But we don't have cable, and he's the only guy on the channel we get, so we're stuck with Dan. But I was watching Dan as he was giving commentary at the Kennedy funeral. And he was seated there with a Catholic priest. And as they were there, they were sort of dialoguing about the family and about what might take place in the funeral service. And something was said, and I say this morning, you can walk out of here and think I'm bashing, and that's all right, the Lord knows my heart. I'm just simply trying to preach the truth this morning in love. But my heart was so saddened to hear, as the Catholic priest sat there and said, one of the good things about folks coming early to the funeral is that they'll have plenty of time to pray for the dead. Plenty of time to pray for the dead. My friend, the time to pray for your loved ones is while they're alive. Because once they're dead, there is nowhere in the Bible that tells me that I can pray a prayer for the dead that will make any difference for them. Now, we know many religions teach that. But I'm here simply to say to you this morning, God has a sovereign plan for salvation. His plan is Jesus, but we must make the choice while we're alive to trust Jesus. Don't wait until a deathbed conversion. Don't hope that someone will light enough candles or crawl on their knees or count enough beads to get you there. Your family's prayers cannot save you. God creates you with a free will, and it must be exercised while you are living. His will is sovereign. His works are sovereign. And His way of salvation is sovereign. Sometimes we wonder about God and His ways. We begin to think that we might even know better than God does, especially if He does not work in other people's lives the way that we think He should. And don't raise your hand, but all of us at times have wondered. One study was recently done on the sovereignty of God, and from that study came this letter, a letter based upon scriptures surmising how God might write to one of His children. The letter says, "My precious child, I am in control. I am sovereign. I am able to make things happen the way I want them to go. Yes, I do allow you to make your own choices. And I know you don't fully understand how these ideas can operate side by side. But I'm able to work within and around the choices you make to cause my ultimate purposes to succeed. For this, you must trust me. Ask me about your choices and plans. My wisdom is yours if you will ask. Just look at my son's death and resurrection. His enemies thought they were acting on their own. Yet, while their choices revealed, they truly were, I made sure my words given to the prophets were coming true. I want you to cooperate with my plans. When the people around you don't do that, be assured I am still in control. I will fulfill my plan. Their choices are their own, but I'm still in control. Trust me. I'll use it for your good. Lovingly, your Heavenly Father, the King. I thank God this morning that when things around me are like a whirlwind, that I know He's still working for me. He's still in control. He's still doing His will. And I thank God this morning that because of His love, I can trust Him. And my friend, you can trust Him, knowing that He is a sovereign God, knowing He's working all things according to a loving plan.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president of West Coast Baptist College. I do invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. You can hear today's message in its entirety. You can also hear all of the messages from this great, powerful series, Understanding God. You can download them and even subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can find that and many other resources at dailyintheword.org. Now to wrap up today's program, here's Paul Chappell.
Friend, do you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm not asking, are you a member of a church or were you raised up in church? But do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible says, as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You see, God intends a relationship to be established with you that is found through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's simply stated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, God is not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And perhaps today, God's Holy Spirit is touching your heart, and you need to change your mind, and He's showing you that you cannot save yourself, because all of us are sinners, but that Jesus Christ shed His blood to cover your sin in order that you might be saved. Well, my friend, if you're beginning to understand the truth of Christ's atonement for you, and if you believe that Jesus Christ as God's Son shed His blood for your sin, then I encourage you right now to just stop from your normal pace of the day and simply say something like this: "Dear Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God, and Jesus, I pray now and ask You to come into my heart by faith. I believe that Your blood was shed for my sin. I ask You to wash my sins away and one day take me to heaven to be with You for all of eternity." Now, my friend, if you by faith will call on the Lord and believe in Him only, not in a church, not in a preacher, but in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you have made that prayer today, and you meant it, and you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, let me encourage you to visit our website, dailyintheword.org, and just click the little tab that says Contact Us. Let me know that you've prayed and accepted Christ, and we'd love to send you some free material to help you get started in the Christian life. May God bless you as you grow in Christ.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, we would love to hear from you this month, and we do have a gift. If you'll take the time to call or write to us, we'd like to send you a token of our appreciation. It's a booklet written by Pastor Chappell entitled A Maze of Grace. If you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you know of somebody who's bearing up under a trial or a burden, this book will help them find God's amazing grace in the maze of their trial. Sometimes it's in life's most confusing, frustrating moments that we see God's hand of grace in miraculous ways in our lives. This little booklet will remind you of this. Again, it's entitled A Maze of Grace, and it's our gift to you when you call or write to us this month. And just let us know that you're listening. The easiest way to do that is to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us tab. I do hope that you'll pray about contributing to our ministry. You can do that on the website as well when you click on Donate. And your investment into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for airtime so that we can continue teaching and preaching the Word of God on stations like this one all across America. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, our mailing address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, when we hear from you this month, we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Chappell's book, A Maze of Grace, a great gift for someone who's bearing up under a trial. It will encourage their heart and remind them of God's wonderful grace, even in the mazes of life. A Maze of Grace, this month, our gift to you. Thanks so much for being a part of this ministry, Daily in the Word. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. And until next time, have a great day.